Hi, I'm Holly.
And I'm Haley.
Welcome to Mountain Mysteries, Tales from Appalachia. Ask yourself, Haley, what was that?
What was that?
That was a bunch of people saying, yay! Or just a bunch of men in a room, it kind of sounded like. Anyway, that is because it is our anniversary. We, as October 1st, have been on the air 3 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Time has flown.
I apologize to everyone in advance.
Yeah.
And for the past, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And the future.
And what is to come. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's our bad.
No, but, and we have aired, so as of this episode, 160 episodes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, 3 years, 160 episodes. I'm 3 years older. I was just telling Haley,
yeah.
I want to see if my insurance will pay for Botox, but I'll call it migraines.
Yeah.
I do get migraines,
yeah,
though.
You do.
I do. So it'll make me more youthful.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a crazy couple weeks.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we're back.
We're back. Haley was ill, actually. I think I worded it that we were ill.
Yeah, it was me.
It was Haley.
It was all me. No, I thought I had the flu. And then...
Yeah, you texted me. I think I have the flu. We can't record.
No, because I was dying.
Yeah.
Really thought I had the flu, and then I thought, well, maybe I have COVID because it's going around again. So
yes.
I took a COVID test. It was negative, and I'm like, well, wish I had at-home flu tests. And then figured it was probably because I started having a lot of neck pain, like stiffness, some light sensitivity, and I was like, oh, my God, if I've been bitten by another tick and have Lyme again, I will die. But I think it was just a flare-up of it.
How long did it last?
Like 3-4 days.
Wow.
But yeah, the neck stiffness was wild. Did not feel nearly as bad as I did the first time around with Lyme.
That's good.
And I was talking to a friend of mine who actually had Lyme. She had chronic Lyme. And I was like, does yours flare up? And she's like, oh yeah. She's like, anytime the season changes, any time of stress, like... Anytime you're sick with something else, it can kind of like exacerbate it. And so I was like, well, that's awesome. So I slept for probably 12 hours a day for like 3 days.
Wow.
It was wild. But we're back.
We are back. You got last week a Patreon episode, which if you noticed was slightly out of the mountains. It was in California, Nevada.
Yeah.
That's a cool story.
It was really cool.
That was one of our Patreon subscriber stories because we, you know, cover stories from everywhere and usually weird ones. So
yeah.
If you're like, this one feels a little different. They were a little Holly and Haley after dark. Some of their jokes.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is why. But
yeah. Sorry, I feel like I sound like a pack-a-day smoker right now.
It's all right.
Really, just because. So I went out drinking with some friends the other night and went to a couple places and just like scream sang some songs. End of the night in a drag bar.
Nice.
It was really fun. But there was some Taylor Swift. There was
Whitney. You belong with me. was it that?
No.
Okay.
Some Whitney going on. It was just really fun. Really fun.
Let me tell you something. I can tear it up with some Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I was scream singing, jumping up and down. My feet will never be the same.
Who loves
that was the song.
Yeah. I want to dance with somebody.
Yeah. It was, that's one of my favorite songs.
I sang that a lot as a kid when it was out and it was popular at the time. Oh, yeah. All right.
That was life.
Well, you want to light up?
Sure.
Don't.
Not in your home or anywhere. Please don't. Yeah, please smoke.
Don't start smoking, kids. That's not fun.
Bad.
I did recently have a doctor. I went to a doctor visit and they said, in the last 2 weeks since we've seen you, have you started a smoking habit? And I was like, not that I recall. Do people do that? Like, just be 40 years old and just start smoking? She was like, not really. She was like, not in a 2 week span, but hey, you never know.
You just have to ask.
Like, exactly. I'm glad she did.
That's always the most awkward thing when you're going, when they have to ask you those certain questions. Like, I went to a doctor recently and they're like, just nonchalantly talking about my blood pressure and like, oh, how's life? And then slide in the question, have you thought about harming yourself in the past 30 days? I'm like, no.
Shouldn't you have asked me this at the beginning?
And then like talking about other stuff, like, have you thought about harming others in the last 30 days? I'm like, yeah.
But no.
So
get our assessment tool. They always ask me at my son's pediatrician. They're like, anyone in the house smoke? And I was like, no, except for him, but he's trying to quit. And they look at me and I was like, it's a joke. And they're like, oh yeah. Oh,
so funny. Is there like jotting down?
Like, yes, my preschooler is lighting up every day and yeah. I'm trying to get him to quit.
Yep. It's a bad habit.
He doesn't like the Nicorette gum. What can I say?
Yeah. Anyway. Gotta try the patches.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's next step.
All right. So we are celebrating our anniversary by bringing you a child is missing story. Yes. Child yes, abduction. Indeed. Yes.
No.
I know, right? Terrible. That but we awful. Are headed today to February of 2000.
Okay.
Since we're reminiscing in honor of our anniversary, I'm going to give you some events of the time period. This is also for Haley to have some context, seeing as she was 3 years old.
I was in 2000?
Yeah.
I was, yeah, well, four at some part of 2000.
No.
Three. Four. I was three.
Yeah. It's all right. Math is hard. I don't know. It's all right.
Dude, it's, I'm still hungover.
Oh, wow.
It's all right.
I was home with my toddler and probably asleep by 8. Oh, he's a preschooler. Preschooler now. Yeah, and I home
got,
by 8.
Yeah, no, I got home at like 2 a.m.
Well, those were the days.
Wild night.
I'm too old for that.
26 feels too old.
The number one song was I Knew I Loved You by Savage Garden. I love that song. You don't know it?
Not a clue.
I knew I loved
you. Oh, yes, I do. Yeah. Sorry, I knew the first
one. I love it. I always think of my son, you know?
Aww,
I don't know.
I don't think of your son, but...
Well, it's I Knew I Loved You before I even met you. I don't think of that with like... I think of that with your children, like before you even held them or met them, you knew like you loved them. Yeah. I don't know. The top two television shows on TV were ER. Always
love
watched ER.
Mm-hmm.
And Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Regis Philbin.
It's kind of boring.
Really? Yeah, I like it. It was a huge thing. Like, it brought ABC back. It was, The top movie at the box office was Scream 3, starring Wes Craven and Neve Campbell. Nice.
Yep.
As you can see, it was a pretty good time.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton was still in office and would remain there until the 2000 election. Don't get me started on the 2000 election and the hanging chads.
Mm-hmm.
If you're old enough to remember that, it was a thing. And this was 19 months before 9/11. So I was a teenager. This was actually a pretty good time.
I was in 3-year preschool at the Methodist Church.
At the Methodist Church. Methodist
preschool in the basement of the Methodist Church.
I was
That's
at the high
went.
School, you know.
Not at the Methodist Church.
I was not at the Methodist Church.
I'm not Methodist, but I went to Methodist
That's,
preschool.
You know, you got to do whatever
it's
works.
Fine.
Exactly. So, before we get into the story, I want to thank my colleague and friend Sarah for the recommendation. We were having brunch and she mentioned it. She was like, haven't you heard that story? And I was like, no. Now we have.
Now we have.
Here we go. All right. So it's February 14th, 2000, Valentine's Day, in Shelby, North Carolina. Shelby is a small town that sits about an hour west of Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
It's nearly 3:00 in the morning when 10-year-old O'Brien Degree, so that's his name, O'Brien Degree.
I kind of like that, O'Brien.
O'Brien.
I feel like I hear that more as a last name. O'Brien, but I kind of like that as a
kind of feels very Irishy. Come here, O'Brien. He hears the bed of his 9-year-old sister, Asha, squeak. So O'Brien and Asha have been sharing a bedroom.
Such cute names.
I know, I know. And O'Brien assumes that his sister is just, like, moving around in bed, and he thinks nothing more of it, kind of like, ugh, would she just settle down?
Yeah.
So he settles back into a blissful sleep, unaware of the chaos that is to come that Valentine's morning.
Mm.
The children's mother, Aquila DeGree, wakes up. Another great name, right?
Name. Aquila,
I love it. She wakes up around 5:45 in the morning and begins her weekday routine. So this is now a Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
She's waking up her two children to ready them for school like she does every day. The night before, the power had gone out. So Aquila decided to wait on giving the kids baths until like the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
So she prepared the water and went to go wake up the kiddos. O'Brien woke up with a yawn, but they noticed that Asha wasn't in her bed.
Mm.
Asha's mother searched the room and the house and even, like, in the family cars. Like, maybe she, you know, maybe her brother was annoying her or something and she went to, like, sleep in the car or something. She wasn't there. She woke up her husband. His name was Harold. And she had a lot of panic in her voice. And she told him, I can't find Asha. Harold was, like, really calm, like, okay, there's probably an explanation for this. She probably just went across the street to grandma's house.
Okay.
His mother lived across the street. So, you know, it was typical that she would go over there.
Mm-hmm.
Not usually in the morning like that, but he was like, oh, it's probably not a big deal. So Aquila called the house, the grandmother's house, and on the other line was her sister-in-law who said, no, she hasn't been here. Like, she is not here. Check the house. No, she's not here. So it was at this point that Aquila began to panic.
Yeah.
It wasn't like her daughter to just disappear. Asha had a fear of dogs, so she wouldn't just like walk through the neighborhood by herself. Like she was scared that a dog would come out and like attack her. So this wasn't typical. And while the family lived in a really safe residential neighborhood, like your mind starts to go to pretty scary places when you think your child is missing. Aquila called her own mother to ask for advice. Like, what do you think I should do? Like, am I overreacting? And her mother said, you need to call the police.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't find her, you know your own child.
Right.
Like, you need to call the cops. So by this point, it's 6:40 in the morning when the first group of police officers arrive on the scene with their dogs.
Okay.
They were hopeful that they could, like, pick up on her scent, like, maybe if she just wandered off. Because remember, she's 9 years old.
Right.
So police were given a photo of her, as well as other identifying information, like what she was wearing that day, or they thought she might be wearing. So meanwhile, Aquila couldn't sit idly by. I can't think of what parent could.
No.
Like, I would be out of my mind.
Yeah.
So she started walking through the neighborhood, calling out her daughter's name, thinking, like, you know, maybe she'll hear me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she's, you know, she got lost or something. She'll just sort of pop up and surprise her. Like,
yeah.
Surprise! Something to reassure her that maybe this was just a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Just a really terrible dream.
Yeah.
Aquila screamed her daughter's name with a primal sense of panic and urgency. By 7 a.m., Aquila had essentially woken up the entire neighborhood. So once friends and family and neighbors were alerted to her absence, they helped Aquila in the search. They were walking through the community, calling out Asha's name, you know, looking through bushes and looking everywhere they could. The pastor of their church came to the family's home in order to provide some emotional support, and he prayed with the family that the child would be found safe and sound. Police dogs were not able to pick up Asha's scent, and the only thing they found was a lone glove that fit a child's hand.
Hmm.
Aquila told the police that the glove did not belong to Asha and that no winter clothing was missing from their house. So,
weird.
Oddly not hers, yeah. When the local news caught wind of the case, it became their top news story, and it gained a great deal of attention, as it should. After seeing the news, two people driving on the road near Asha's home contacted the police. They each claimed to have seen Asha or a child that matched her description walking alone on the road in the wee hours of the morning. One driver reported seeing the young girl and attempted to approach her, which quickly prompted her to run into the woods. I mean,
weird.
That would cause me to run into the woods,
yeah,
too.
If any man approaches me, I'm gone. Please. In the opposite direction.
Oh, except for Randy at the guard check.
Except for Randy at the guard check. We're tight.
You will let him pat you down.
I will.
Yeah.
Any day.
Oh. This is why he's never conveniently on vacation when you show up.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So the driver stated that the young girl was wearing white pants and a long sleeve white t-shirt and was walking south along Highway 18, just north of the junction that merged into Highway 180. Okay. The motorist was pretty alarmed at seeing a young child walking alone at that time in the morning.
Yeah.
Just thought that was really weird. So the motorist passed the child and then thought, something is not right. Maybe I should ask her if she's okay, because she's clearly very young. Maybe she's lost. So he turned around and kind of did a circle. And then at that point, she like saw him, got nervous, and ran into the woods.
Okay.
So the motorist claims that it was kind of rainy.
Yeah.
And was he felt that like there was a storm raging that was like about to happen.
Yeah.
And he thought like maybe she's like running for cover or something. Yeah. I don't know. He just thought it was very weird. So a truck driver came forward and reported seeing the same girl in a similar ensemble, white top, you know, long sleeve shirt, white jeans, between 3:45 and 4:15, which was also startling to him because, again, it was odd to see a child that time in the morning walking by themselves along a road. And police felt that this was indeed Asha based on the description of the child's clothing.
So what are they suggesting, that she ran away?
Potentially.
Okay.
Yeah. Cleveland County Sheriff Dan Crawford reported to the media that they were, quote, pretty sure it was her because the descriptions they gave are consistent with what we know she was wearing.
Okay.
The two witnesses had both seen the child around the same time in the same area. The two men didn't know each other, so it wasn't like, you know, they were coming forward together or anything like that. So there was no connection. As the sun set on that Valentine's Day, which was actually Asha's parents' 12th wedding anniversary.
Aww.
Yeah. Oh my God, how devastating in so many ways. The family was pretty filled with fear and grief.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
Wow.
The next day, police found empty candy wrappers in a shed next to a local business. The business was off of Highway 18, near where the woods were, where she had last been seen.
Mm-hmm.
So when police searched the shed further, they discovered a single green marker, a pencil, a yellow hair bow belonging to Asha, and a photograph of a black female around Asha's age.
But it wasn't Asha?
But it wasn't Asha.
That's weird.
Police were never able to identify the girl in the picture, but just knew that it wasn't Asha.
Right, it just wasn't her.
That is so weird.
That's bizarre.
That is so weird. Like, would she have had this picture? You know what I mean? Like, did she have that with her?
Right. Was it a picture of a friend, or
was it someone looking for a girl who looked like her and dropped the picture?
Was it like a school picture, or was it just a random?
It didn't give a lot of details. It just said a picture of a girl.
Because when I was in like elementary school, like that's something that you did. Like when you got your school pictures, usually you got that little sheet of like the wallet size ones.
And, yeah.
Like,
with
give
with
them to your
something
friends.
Like stamped over it. Yeah. Like cannot use as real picture or something like
that.
Yeah.
And you'd like give them to your friends or whatever. Yeah. And like,
OMG,
you ended up having like, and if you were like, you would try to give your crush one, and if they gave you their picture,
it was like, it's on like
that was
Donkey
like
Kong.
A marriage proposal.
And then pretty soon you're at the club with them screaming, I want to dance with somebody.
Yeah.
Wow. No. It's magical.
Magic.
Well, and so I don't know. I mean, based on the things that she had, a lot of them seem like schoolgirl things, like a random green marker and a pencil and a yellow like hair bow, you know. But then the odd picture of a girl her age, two things pop in my head. One is like, hey, maybe it's a picture a school friend gave her, or you know, maybe it was somebody looking for someone who sort of matched that description, and they're like, oh, I want her, and I don't know.
That's
there's
weird.
Something so weird. Yeah, so the following day, February 16th, while going through her room, Asha's mom noticed that her favorite pair of blue jeans with a red stripe was missing from her dresser. Her mother also noticed that her backpack was missing. This led police to believe that Asha willingly packed her things and left her house.
Yeah.
or was possibly coerced to leave her house.
Right. I mean, even if it is a runaway situation, that's still concerning because she's nine.
She's nine. Like, yeah. It's not like she's a teen who's like, I'm right. tired of this
it's
stuff.
It's not like a 16-year-old who, you know.
He's like, you're not going to tell me what to do.
And yeah. has a little bit more street smart, you know.
Right.
Or they think they do, at least.
Or they think they yeah. do.
But yeah, this is like, even if it is a runaway, she's nine.
She's nine. And how far is she going to get? Like, right. honestly, this is just so weird.
Yeah.
And she's scared of dogs. Most nine-year-olds are kind of scared of the dark, you know.
I'm still scared of the dark.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be out on a road at night.
Absolutely
and
not.
And I'm 112. You know, I wouldn't do
my I sleep with a lamp on.
TV.
At night. Oh.
TV.
I can't do the TV light.
No, I like it.
I can do, I have a soft lamp
yeah.
that I leave on.
Well, we have the alarm. We have a gated community, so we're pretty set.
Yeah.
But, you know. Still. And I still wouldn't be out and about.
No. Oh, absolutely not.
The big thing here is, like, maybe she was meeting somebody. So maybe it was a coercion of, like... Right. But it's like, who would she have met? You know what I mean? So, like, your mind this is, goes to...
I mean, there's not really a lot of... Like, especially kids that age aren't really using, like, chatting.
Well, and this wasn't really a thing right. back then. And it's I'll get into really... more about her life yeah. with her parents and what that looked like.
If there was any, it was very basic, like...
Well, I mean, there were, like, chat rooms and right. stuff, and there was, like, AOL, AIM, and stuff like that. But I'll get into a little bit more of her life, okay. but she really wasn't a part of any of
right.
that.
Right, I wouldn't think so.
Anybody that she would meet would be, like, school or church or something to that effect. So, yeah. anyway, but it seemed like... It was like a meeting place almost. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's just something so weird about this. So on February 22nd, 8 days after she initially went missing, police called off the search. They had dedicated 9,000 man hours to searching a 2 to 3 mile area where she had last been seen.
Yeah.
Sadly, they had no substantial leads to go on. That I mean, just, God, that has to be so frustrating.
I know. I mean, I get it, like, having to call off a search, because if you haven't found her yeah. in that area with that many people looking, the likelihood yeah. is she was probably in a vehicle
right.
at that point. Like, had right. been taken off
further,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to find her, you know, wandering the woods 8 days later.
Exactly.
In that small grid.
Exactly. With so many people and yeah. neighbors and friends.
Yeah.
Flyers had been posted throughout the community, and there were upwards of 300 leads that police chased down, including tips that she was dumped in a well.
Oh my God.
Or staying at an abandoned house. But all of these leads proved futile.
Mm.
While police scaled back their search efforts, they encouraged the public and media to continue to keep the story going.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the publicity of the case, the FBI and North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation got involved. The SBI felt that due to Asha's packing her clothing that she had been preparing to leave for several days leading up to her departure. So this had been thought out.
Yeah.
One of the SBI agents felt that Asha was, quote, not your typical runaway. Well, obviously,
right.
like we talked about, yeah. she's 9 years old. So this was in large part due to her age, and that most children or teens who run away are in and around of 12 or up.
Yeah.
So usually 12 years old or up. Asha had a good family life. She had loving parents. She had a loving older brother, even though, you know, they probably fought from mm-hmm. time to time. She was very close with her whole family. She loved going to school. She was the point guard on her fourth grade basketball team.
Cute.
I know. She went to church every Sunday, and computers were not allowed in their home. So that theory
yep,
is out
is.
The window.
Bye.
Asha's parents were very, very leery, and rightfully so, of the internet.
Yeah.
I get it. 100%.
Yeah.
Even now, what it looks like today, yeah, which is vastly different than, I mean.
Even scarier.
We had dial-up. And I would constantly, Mom, stop answering the phone. You got me off the dial-up, you know? Oh, the old school. So. The only couple of things to note here on her family was that she and her brother came home from school to an empty house. Both of her parents worked until late afternoon, so O'Brien and Asha kind of cared for themselves.
So they're latchkey kids.
Latchkey kids, yep.
Gotcha.
They did have family across the street, so it wasn't like they were totally on their own if right. they needed something. But do note that. The Friday before Asha went missing, her school was closed, so she and her brother spent the whole day with their aunt, who lived in the same neighborhood. Asha went to basketball practice that evening, and everything seemed normal. The next day, Saturday, Asha's parents went to her basketball game, and they noted that she was upset when she fouled out of the game and the team ended up losing. So they recalled that she and her teammates were crying, but she was able to calm down, and she proudly cheered on her brother when his team played. So there was nothing that seemed unusual to her parents or anything that was out of the norm.
Right.
Investigators believe that Asha left her home of her own accord while walking down the road and was potentially abducted. The case stopped there until August 3rd, 2001.
Okay.
This is 18 months after she disappeared.
Yeah.
A construction team was working on widening a road along Highway 18 in Morganton. So this is about 50 miles from where Asha was last seen. When they discovered a backpack wrapped in a plastic bag. One worker examined the backpack and found a name and address on the inside. The backpack was that of Asha Degree.
50 miles away.
50 miles away, 18 months later.
In Morganton. Dang, okay.
It was quickly recovered by the police and examined for DNA evidence. The results of those tests have never been made public.
Wow.
20 plus years later, never.
Wow.
The items in the bag, however, were released and included a New Kids on the Block t-shirt and a book from Asha's elementary library. The book was Dr. Seuss's McElliott's Pool. McElliott's?
Sure.
Pool. It was determined that neither belonged to Asha. So it came from her elementary school, but it didn't actually...
It wasn't hers.
Yeah, yeah. And let's just talk about this New Kids on the Block thing.
Okay.
Okay. At that point in time, the band wasn't popular. She wasn't even probably born by the time the band was popular. Late 80s, early 90s. Right. Like maybe she, you know, if she was born in 91 or 90, I mean, they were popular when she was born. Like not at that time. By 2000, she would have been into like Backstreet Boys, NSYNC,
right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Why was this found in her bag? And like her parents even said, like that's... doesn't belong to her.
Right. It's not hers.
There are so many things here that don't make sense.
Right.
Why were things found in her bag that didn't belong to her? Like the picture of the young girl.
And why is it wrapped in plastic?
Why was it wrapped in a plastic bag? It seems like somebody wanted to preserve it in some way.
Yeah.
Something doesn't make sense.
No, that's weird.
So in 2004, there was an inmate at the Cleveland County Jail within Shelby, who claimed to know where Asha's body was buried. Yeah. Police were led to an intersection in an area of Lawndale, but only found animal bones.
Hmm.
In 2008, Asha's parents set up a scholarship fund in her memory to help support deserving students. They also host a walkathon every year to raise awareness. The goal is to keep Asha's memory alive. The walkathon was also always hosted on February 14th, but the family decided to change it to a week before Valentine's Day because they didn't want like a day of love kind right. of a, you know, to be yeah. a somber affair for right. those participating.
Yeah.
In 2013, Asha's mom did an interview with Jet Magazine where she explained that she felt her daughter's case hadn't gotten much attention, or at least as much attention as it deserved.
Right.
She said, and I quote, "Missing white children get more attention. I don't understand why. I know if you ask them, they will say it's not racial. Oh, really? She said. I'm not going to argue because I have common sense." End quote.
Yeah.
In 2015, the FBI reopened the case and interviewed past witnesses. They offered $25,000 in a reward for whoever had information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for the disappearance. An additional $20,000 was raised by a community group to make that reward
$45,000.
In May of 2016, the FBI announced a new lead. An early 1970s model green-colored Lincoln Continental, or possibly Ford Thunderbird, was spotted with a girl who matched Asha's description getting into the passenger side door. This was along Highway 18, where there had been the last known sighting of Asha. Mm-hmm. The car was said to have rusty wheel wells and not been in the best shape. So kind of a clunker.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
In September of 2017, the FBI also announced that its Child Abduction Rapid Deployment Team, mm-hmm. otherwise known as CARD, C-A-R-D, was working in Cleveland County to assist in an investigation and, quote, provide on-the-ground investigative, technical, behavioral analysis, and analytical support to find more about what happened to Asha. CARD worked alongside the FBI, Charlotte employees, Cleveland County Sheriff's Department, and other investigators from the SBI. They worked for 10 days, and they also met several times a month after that to talk about the investigation. So it had gone cold, but it seemed like it picked up a lot of steam.
Mm-hmm.
So since September of 2017, local agents and investigators have conducted approximately 300 interviews.
Dang.
In October of 2018, the Cleveland County Sheriff's Department detectives appealed for information from the public about two items of interest that were found in DeGree's backpack. The book, The McElliott's Pool, by Dr. Seuss, which was borrowed from the Falston Elementary School Library in early 2000, and a New Kids on the Block concert t-shirt. An investigator said these items are really vital clues and very important to the case. In November of 2020, an inmate named Marcus Mellon, who was convicted of sex crimes against children in 2014, wrote a letter to the local newspaper, the Shelby Star, claiming that DeGree was murdered and he knows where to find her. In February of 2021, Cleveland County Sheriff announced that Mellon's claims had once again led to another dead end.
Yeah.
I just hate that. Like, why would you do that to these parents?
Like,
what is wrong with you?
Well, a lot, it sounds like.
Because he's a real sick SOB.
Yeah.
Asha's parents have been missing their daughter for over 23 years. Mm. They are hopeful that she is alive and out there somewhere and just needs to get word out about her case so that the community can help find her somehow, whether it's, you know, at this point, a body or that she's out there somewhere. A billboard continues to line Route 18, where she was last seen, in the hopes that she will be found alive. And this is actually the billboard that my colleague mentioned to me.
Yeah.
Let's see. Her mother says, quote, "I don't believe she's dead. I've never believed it from day one. I'm not going to believe it. Even if they say, okay, we're pretty sure this is her and the case is closed, it'll never be closed for me," end quote. Investigators also recently searched a Shelby farm hoping for clues. I know there's a quote saying, "I know it's been very disturbing for the community as well as my family," says John Klein, a Shelby resident. "They searched our farm looking for any ditch, ravine, old well, anything for possible clues," end quote.
Mm.
Investigators didn't find anything on the farm. 20 years later, a local news team ran a story about it, and they talked to a local convenience store worker, near Highway 18, just saying, you know, "We're still worried about this case. We still think about it."
Yeah.
Like, residents in the community really think about it. Like, it's on our mind. And the sheriff, Alan Norman, says, quote, "This is a solvable case."
Yeah.
Yeah. So her mother, Aquila DeGree, said, quote, "We've done everything in our power to find our child and bring her home. Even though she is 30 now, she is still our child and still that 9-year-old girl who left."
Mm.
Quote, "This is worse than a death, because at least with death, you have closure. You can go to a gravesite, you have an urn at home, but for us, we can't mourn, we can't give up. The only thing we have is hope," end quote.
Mm.
The FBI is still continuing to investigate her disappearance. So I want to say, if any of you have any information about the disappearance of Asha DeGree in February of 2000, please reach out to the Cleveland County Sheriff's Department at area code 704-484-4888.
Dang. Yeah.
That's a heavy one for our 3-year anniversary story.
But a good one.
a really good one, in large part because I just want this family to have closure. Like, if we can keep the story alive and keep it going for Asha's sake, her memory, like, let's do it. Because, you know, this family wants to find their daughter.
Ugh. I don't know. There's a part of me, as you were telling that, that I was like, I bet she's still alive.
Her mom feels
been
it.
Out there somewhere.
Her mom feels like, she's I feel out like there.
Mom, no, moms know.
Yeah. Like, you just kind of have that sense.
I can see this being a case of, what was the girl's name? JC?
Dugard. Yeah.
Like, that just kept
popping in your brain.
Popping in my brain the whole time you're telling the story.
I
mean, I hope that, you know, maybe best case scenario, she ran off and had a head injury and has amnesia and is living a happy life somewhere. But I don't think that's the case.
I have this weird sense that just based on the things that they found in the backpack, someone lost a child around her age, maybe in the early 90s, when New Kids on the Block was popular and all these things. And somehow lured her, you know, maybe had met her through school or somehow met her or followed her and maybe encouraged her, hey, why don't you come meet me here or something? And it happened and then she was abducted. And I feel like this person was trying to replace the child they had lost. And, you know, maybe, you know, kept her, I don't know, out of sight or like kept her in another state or somewhere where like, you know, after years of being there, you know, you eventually start to, you know, have that syndrome where you sort of align with your captors and you're dependent on them. I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking out of my booty here, but there's some kind of weird thing going on with this t-shirt and the stuff that they found that didn't belong with her and the picture of the child that wasn't her.
But looked like her.
So, there's just something so odd.
It's really odd.
Yeah. So I feel like this is a solvable case. Like,
yeah, I feel something like this can is definitely happen. Not over.
No. And I pray that we hear more and that they are able to solve it for her parents.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And if she's out there still, you know?
Yeah.
Getting her home.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I feel like, God, we're just like DNA tests away. I know. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it takes her to like have the ability, the freedom to like put in a DNA test just to like find your genealogy and then here it is, you know?
Or, you know, I mean, or them to test whatever DNA is on that backpack.
Yeah.
Or like whatever's like, on it.
Find like, the results of it.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
That's weird.
I know.
That's and that's super weird.
It's not been released.
Right.
That feels like they have something and they just want to hold on to it and they're not going to give that up
yet. Like it's, they're not sharing all the stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Which is typical in a case that you want to hold on to something.
Yeah.
You know, that you can, you know, process or use later. So anyway, yeah, that's where we're at.
That's that. Wow.
I know, kind of on a real low point, but
okay.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Oh my gosh, we've made it 3 years together.
Together.
Together forever and ever with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so great.
Well, we've known each other for what?
20? Going on 6 years?
Yeah.
Going on 6 years.
Yeah.
5.5 years.
5.5. June of 2018.
Yeah. 5.5 years.
Wow.
Since it's special. Oh. Oh my gosh, we're like walking off on the sunset. So sweet.
Amazing.
I know. Oh, I know. Okay. So special. All right. Well, this was really fun. Let me tell you how you can email us. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything, you know, definitely call Cleveland County Sheriff's Department. But even if you've heard of this case and you're in the community and you just want to share more, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
You can reach out to us via email at mountainmysteries.appalachian@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at Mountain Mysteries Tales from Appalachia. You can find us on Instagram at mountainmysteries.appalachia. And for a real good time, Patreon, patreon.com/mountainmysteries. That's where you get bonus content and Holly and Haley after dark. Ooh. Haley, do you have a shout out today?
Yes, I do. Please hold.
We're always holding.
I know. Well, I had to log back in. And like, it was
at this point,
thing.
Just make something up. Just say, just well, I just want to talk to Haley's hometown. That's you know who you are.
Hometown. Let's go. St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Woohoo. Oh, yeah. I love Minnesota.
Never been.
Cold. Very cold. Yeah. Yeah. My aunt and uncle lived in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's that.
All right. Well, until next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.